Welcome, church. Thanks for joining us. It's so good to be together. I'm grateful that we can do church like this. It's just awesome, isn't it? I mean, I'm grateful for cool technology and gear that God has given us that we can still meet together and live stream, and I'm grateful for that. If you're new with us tonight, I just want to say welcome. Thank you for joining us. We would love to connect with you. We would love to get to know you. There will be a link on the bottom of the screen that you can go to that website and put in some information, because we would love to greet you and get to know you better. Today, we're finishing up in our Fear Not series, and I have the privilege to talk to us about trusting God, about trusting in God's steadfast love. And trusting God is certainly an important idea as a Christian. We trust him for so many things, for salvation, for sanctification, for strength, even just for life, trusting him for our hearts to still beat, to trust him for the air that we breathe. Especially at this time in our history, many are trying to learn to trust God spiritually and physically and practically, but also emotionally and mentally. And that's just the world that we live in now. With the coronavirus and earthquakes and isolation, many of us are asking, who am I trusting? What am I trusting in? But some of you also have experienced trusting God in new, amazing ways, in the most real and deep and meaningful ways that many others may never experience. You trust him desperately every single day just to get through the day, through the roller coaster of emotions, and even through tears and pain and hurt. You walk step by step, leaning into the source of all life and all comfort. Today, I thought it'd be a good idea to go through Psalm 13 together, because I think it's a great example. David's a great example of what it's like to trust God as imperfect people. He was an extremely emotional man. Sometimes he was just a mess, but through that mess, he had a deep, real trust in God. So my prayer for us today is that we hear from the Lord to learn how we can trust him more in a real way. I'd encourage you, if you have your Bible, turn that to Psalm 13 with us. We'll read that shortly, but first I'm going to pray again, and I invite you to pray with me wherever you're at. Thanks for being here with us. Jesus Christ, we love you. We thank you for the song that we just sang about your amazing grace. How sweet the sound, Jesus. We thank you that you love us, Lord, and that you've given us this ability to be together. I pray you would help us, Lord, as your children, to trust you more. Would you grow our trust in you? Would you speak to us through your word this weekend, Lord, to us? We need you, and we commit our time to you. We pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's read Psalm 13 together. It says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. We see here in Psalm 13, it's obvious David is in some sort of great turmoil. We don't know exactly when he wrote this song, but we have a lot of opportunities to see times that David was struggling and going through difficult things, whether it was living on the run from King Saul when he did nothing wrong, when David did nothing wrong but be chosen by God to be the next king of Israel. Or whether it was him mourning the death of his infant child after suffering the consequences of his adultery with Bathsheba. Or it was being on the run for his life from his very own son who was trying to kill him and take his throne. David knew what hardship was like. And here we see David is crying out to God in the midst of his pain. He's saying, God, how long? How long is my life going to be like this? How long am I going to be keep being on the run? How long must I be in pain and in fear? And I love that David is just so plainly speaking this way to God. He's like, right now, God, it feels like you've abandoned me. It feels like you've just checked out, God. I don't know where you are. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you just don't see where God is, you don't know what's going on, that you tell him, God, I just don't know where you are. And even if David knew in his mind correctly that God hadn't gone anywhere, that's how he felt. Even if he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was still in control of everything that was happening to him, he still felt that way. It was still in his heart. Alistair Begg says this, our perceptions will not necessarily be accurate because what we feel to be the case is not the case, but it doesn't alter the fact that we feel it to be the case. And that's going on for David right now. He's working through his trust in the Lord with what he's feeling in his heart. Do you realize that trusting God in a real way is bringing our true state of our heart and our mind before him? To be real and honest with God about how we're feeling, what we're going through. And the Psalms are amazing in this way. I love how they point to the point they are. It's real and raw and honest. And if we're honest, the Psalms say many things that we are thinking and feeling as people. As one commentary put it that I read, the Psalms echo some of our deepest hidden complaints before God. You see, God's word is so kind to us to shed light to our hearts. We see that we are just like David. And we can see how helpful it is for us to come to God and pour our heart out to him before him, just as David did. So today I would like to look at three ways that we can walk out our trust in the Lord more. When David was going through something difficult, he needed to cry out to God. He had to lay it all out before the Lord, to cast his burdens and his fears and his worries and his anger and his weariness before the Lord. He used prayer and he used singing and possibly some yelling to God to work out what was in his heart. And in the end, what does David come back to? In verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 13, it says he came back to the steadfast love of the Lord, to God's goodness and salvation. So the first thing I think we need to be able to live out our trust in the Lord is we have to trust in what is true. This seems obvious and it seems like it's something that doesn't need to be said, but it does need to be said. We need to place our trust in what is true, in Jesus, in his love and in his character and in his truth. We hear so many garbage things all the time from the world and even sometimes from misguided religion or false religion. We hear things and we believe things and we just glom onto them. We believe them to be true. Things like believe in yourself. You are strong. You are enough. You are powerful. You should be happy and successful and beautiful and rich and skinny. All your dreams will come true. We hear things like that, or we hear things like God will never allow anything bad to happen to you, or God would never give you more than you can handle. And we just gobble these things up and we trust them to be true, but none of those things are biblical. Like Proverbs 14:12 says here, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way to death. We must trust in what's true, Christian. We have to place our trust in something that is, if we place our trust in something that is not true, it will only lead to more hurt. We have to work at finding out what is false in our hearts, what we're believing to be that is false, and we have to root those things out of our hearts. In a practical sense, it's like our own physical health. We can be foolish at times to believe things that are false about our physical health. We can think, you know, at some point in our life that we're young and we're strong and we're healthy and nothing can stop us. We'll be resilient. And then something obviously comes along and rips all that false hope away that we have trusted in. And that's happening right now in our world. People with the coronavirus, this pandemic, it can happen at other times too where people realize they're believing something that's not true. To be real, this happened to me recently. I went to the doctor for the first time in a long time. And I had some blood work done, all the poking and the prodding that comes along with getting a physical after, honestly, a long time of not going to a doctor. And that was foolish of me. But I went to the doctor, you know, and I thought, I'm pretty young, I'm fairly healthy, I bet this is going to not be that bad. I might get something, but not, you know, a report that says I need to change some things, but not that much. But then, to my surprise, I was told I have to drastically make some changes to my diet and to my sedentary lifestyle. Otherwise, I'm going to have some serious consequences to my health in the future. And I was told even the healthy choices that I was making that I thought were good for me personally, they were not good for me because of my genetic makeup. And that's just my reality. And honestly, it was a gut punch to me. But you see, I was trusting this whole time. I've been trusting in something that wasn't true. I was trusting that I was doing okay and that my lifestyle was okay. But then I was told otherwise. I had to see the real problem. I had to see that what I was trusting in was false and that I had a bigger, deeper problem within me. And honestly, I needed a true diagnosis of what was going on. We all need that. We all need to realize that we have a sin problem in us, that our pride and our sin keeps us from trusting God, that we trust things that are not true. We all need to have a spiritual, physical. We have to take inventory of what is going on within our hearts. We can't ignore it. We can't assume that it's all right. We have to see the problem that it really is and find a real solution, to find a real prescription or a real treatment needed for our problem. We can't just go on being oblivious, thinking we're fine. You know, I could have just followed what I thought I was doing was fine, but I would have been deceived. I didn't see the underlying things that would have shipwrecked my health had I continued. Our world is seeing that right now, right? With viruses and earthquakes and aftershocks that are leaving so many people unsettled. They're asking, is what I'm trusting in really true? Is it the right thing? Or are we trusting in what we do right now? Are we trusting how we can be in control? Are we thinking that how good we are, how prepared we will be for a natural disaster, how well we can cope with all these things that are going on in our world? Are we trusting in our hand washing or in our government? Are we trusting in our own health and the precautions that we take? Because we know that all of that can get ripped away real quick. Christian, are you trusting what's true today? Our trust must be in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Church, we must trust the truth that is the promises of Jesus that are found throughout the entire Bible. We have to be reading our Bibles to see who Jesus really is, what his promises really are. We have to know the person of Jesus. We have to pray and humble ourselves to know the truth. David said, I have trusted in your steadfast love. I have trusted in your promise to me, God. I have trusted who you say that I am. I have trusted that you say I am chosen. I have trusted that I have found favor in your sight because of what you have said. I'm going to trust and lean on your truth and your promises, what you have already done for me, because what you've done proves that you are good, and that's a promise to me. Now, what does steadfast mean? I think that's important for us to define. Steadfast, the definition is to be securely fixed in place, immovable, not subject to change, firm in determination or adherence, and loyal. Many times when we face things that are scary, we can think that steadfast love of God has just disappeared or it's been discontinued or it's out of stock like all the toilet paper in our aisles right now. And we can just think he's run out of love for me. And it can leave us feeling abandoned and afraid and alone and confused. But we see that even David felt that way. Even the man who is explained as a man after God's own heart felt that way because we are finite beings and we so easily forget what God has done for us. But when we look at the promises of Jesus for us, for his people, we see that God's love is securely fixed, immovable. It's not going to change because it depends on what he says. and who he is. It doesn't change. His love for us is determined and loyal to his character, not to our own fickle hearts. I want to read some promises that the Lord has said about us, Christian. These are true for you today. We should read these over and over. Jeremiah 31 says that God long ago spoke to Israel and says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With an unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Isaiah 41, the verse that we set this whole series about, but you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Another promise, 1 Peter 2 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I mean, come on, those are so good. How good is that? We should just read those over and over again and go home. Or I should go home. You're already home. Anyway, we should just read those over and over. We need to hear those truths. That is what we need to keep hearing when we get into these scary situations that we're in. The promises of a perfect, good father. You know, I love my kids. I have four kids, four little kids, and I'm in no way a perfect father, but I desire to see my kids know that they are safe and secure with me, that I want them to know that I am near and that I am with them and that I love them. One time when my oldest son was about 2.5 years old, my family, we went to Lake Havasu with some friends and we went boating and it was just a great time. We went boating, and my son, 2.5-year-old son, was just enjoying it on the boat, feeling the breeze, having snacks, all those things. And we pulled into this little alcove. I don't know if that's what you call it, but I'm calling it an alcove. And we took a break, so we weren't zooming by all these big, fast boats, and we just wanted to swim and jump in the water, and it was just really fun. And I decided this was a great opportunity for me to take my son out into the water, and I decided I wanted to have him to come out with me. I knew he was a little hesitant about water from swimming previous times, but I just couldn't pass this up. And so we got him all prepared and all prepped. I got his little life jacket on. I put on my life jacket because I didn't want to have to worry about treading water because it was deep. And then, you know, even just for safe measure, I got a little pool noodle underneath me, and I got him one, and we got out into the water. And immediately we get in the water, and he starts to fuss a little bit. And then fusses a little more, and the further we drift away from the boat, it's getting a little louder and louder, and finally, you know, he's all out just begging that we go back to the boat. So, trying to be a good dad, I tried to get my son to look at me, to stay calm, and I tried to look at him and just say, son, Abel, you are okay. It's okay. Dad is with you. You can trust me. I am with you. You see, so many times in life, we are going along on the boat, and we're just having fun, and we're relaxed, and God asks us to stop and get out of the boat with him, to get out of the comfort of the leather seats and the tropical drinks with the little umbrellas, and to go into the scary, cold, dark, deep waters with him. And so many times we get nervous and we freak out because we forget to trust the promises of Jesus, that he has already given us everything that we need in him. We forget that God is what he has done for us before we even get in the water. We forget that he's put on a life jacket around us as salvation. We fail to recognize that he places us into the water with a pool noodle that is the promise of eternal life and death defeated. And then we fail to remember that Jesus gets in the water with us as our helper. And we forget even more so that he walks on water. He doesn't even need to swim. You see, we freak out because we want the boat. We want the comfort. We want the ease because we've believed things that aren't true. But Jesus never promises those things. Jesus never promised that it would be safe or that it would be easy. He never promised ease and comfort and success and fame and beauty and all those things. In fact, most times the Bible promises the exact opposite of those things. Jesus himself promises persecution and pain and difficult in the end, and war and earthquakes and famines and disease. But the Lord promises that he will be with us. He promises he will get into the water with us. He will go through the terrifying things with us. He will walk through the disease with us. He will walk through the unemployment with us, or the damaged house, or the loneliness and the isolation. He will do that with us. He tells us to take heart because he has overcome the world, and because he will always be with us to the end of the age. Those are the promises of Jesus. We have to trust those promises today, to seek and trust what is true. And while we do that, we must realize that trust is an active choice. This is the only way you and I can get through these tough things, these tough times. It just is to make the active choice of trusting Jesus. If we're not making this active choice to trust in what is true, if we are not rooted in the promises of Jesus, we will be swept away by the storm and tossed in the wind. I think there can be some misconceptions, honestly, of what trusting God means and what that looks like. Sometimes we can think that truly trusting God is like this one-time thing, you know, like get your trust train ticket punched and then you're on your way to Trust City, you know, like without a care in the world, and you're going to go on without another doubt. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Trusting Jesus is a day-by-day, minute-by-minute, moment-by-moment choice to trust him and to not trust the other garbage that we're fed. Also, we can make the mistake to think an active choice of trusting God means that all of a sudden we're going to become perfectly rational, that we'll be fearless and logical and calm and cool and collected, you know, not questioning, not a care in the world. And we don't have to bring our concerns to God, but that's not what it looked like for David. We need to do what Psalm 62 says, to pour out our heart before God, because God is our refuge. That's what David did. God met David in his despair. Jesus met Mary and Martha in their despair when their brother Lazarus died. Jesus met them in that moment, and he wept with them. He met them in their emotion. I'm not just talking meaning that you have to start crying. Not everyone's a crier. Maybe you're not like me and your emotions manifest themselves in a different way. But what I am saying is trusting Jesus is an active choice. It's a process of working through our fears and our doubts and our worries and our hurts. It's bringing those things to the feet of Jesus to work it out with him. Matthew Henry said this: "It is some ease of troubled spirit to give vent to its grief, especially to give vent to them at the thrones of grace, where we are sure to find one who is afflicted in the afflictions of his people." Amen. That is Jesus. Jesus is kind to meet us right in that place. We don't have to push those things away. We don't have to just say, you know, buckle up, soldier. We don't have to tell us that, ourselves that. This is something that I'm learning, again, even right now, to continue to make that active choice to trust the Lord, even in difficult circumstances. You know, when loved ones are facing health issues or financial struggles or family strife or whatever that may be for you and for me, it can be easy to want to go around those emotions, go around those circumstances and not go through them, not to engage with them, to not trust God through the pain. And in difficult moments like this, you know, it can be easy to feel disappointed or betrayed, honestly, by God. And that's real. It's okay to feel that way, to sometimes just to feel like, God, I trusted you. And you're going to make me do that again? You're going to bring that into my life again? You're going to hurt my family in that way again? You know, David was like that. We can be like David. We can go to God and to say, God, how long is this going to be like this? How long do I have to bear this? Don't you see What is going on? But it's in those moments that we come back to believe that and understand what is true. We trust in the promises of Jesus, that he, and that becomes an active choice in our life. And when we cry out to him, when we realize those things, we realize that he is good and we are not. That his ways are right and mine are not. That he is true and I am not. And yet in that too, I can know that he is with me. Church, I want to encourage you that we can be real with God in that way, and we can be real with each other too. We don't always have to just say the super uber Christian things, you know, like, yep, I'm good. I'm trusting God. Everything's great. We're trusting the Lord. We don't have to go through that alone. Many times we experience the comfort of Jesus through others. Being real with each other to say, this is difficult. This is hard. I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling like this sucks. But I'm trusting in his steadfast love. We can truly find comfort for our souls together from the Lord. And this is how we can bear each other's burdens, how we can weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, when we're willing to trust the Lord together. So I have a question for you today. Have you placed your trust in Jesus? Are you trusting in what is true? Are you trusting in the promises of Jesus? Are you making the active choice to trust him today? Have you put your full trust in Jesus? This is an actual choice, not just an intellectual thought. It's actively placing our security and our peace and our safety in Jesus. Maybe you're visiting with us right now and online, and you're wondering if you have truly placed your trust in Jesus. I would encourage you to do that today if you haven't. To turn from your sin, to put your full trust in Jesus alone for your help, for your security, for your salvation, for all eternity. The Bible says that we are separated from God because of our sin, the sin that you and I have committed with our thoughts and our actions and our lusts and our lies. We've all done that. And the Bible says we're separated because God is holy. He is perfect. And we're not. But the good news of the Bible is that God so loved you. God so loved me that he sent his only son, Jesus, so that whoever would believe in him and trust in him and place their trust in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is the promise of God tonight for us. This is the best promise of all. Jesus says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. If we acknowledge our need for him and we place our trust in him, he will pour out his grace upon us. And again, placing our trust isn't just this thought, this idea. Placing our trust in Jesus is like putting our trust in a chair, like a chair in this room right now. I can see it and I can think, yeah, if I sat down in that chair, it's going to get me. It's going to hold me up. I can trust that. But to actually put my trust in it, I have to go to that chair and I have to sit down. I have to put all my weight, all of my trust into that chair. And we have to do the same thing with Jesus. If you have questions about that, we would love to answer those questions. We would love to help you understand more about what it means to trust Jesus for salvation. You can go to the link that will be on the bottom of the screen and ask any questions that you have. Or if you have prayer, you can go to trc.life/pray, and we would love to pray for you about anything that we can. We would love to interact with you. To end today, I would like to read an old Lutheran hymn that I came across last week. It's called What God Ordains is Always Good. And I think it's just what we need at this time. It's really beautiful. I want to read a couple verses of it. It says, what God ordains is always good. He is my friend and my father. He suffers not to do me harm, though many storms may gather. Now I may know both joy and woe. Someday I shall see clearly that he has loved me dearly. What God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with his arm he shall embrace and shield me. So to my God I yield me. Amen. While the world around us celebrates in their own strength and their own power that will only disappoint in the end, may we celebrate in Jesus' mighty hand and his work in our life. May we trust in his deliverance, not our own. That everything he does is good and we can trust him. We can trust in his steadfast love and we can rejoice in his salvation because he has dealt bountifully with us. Amen. Next week, guys, I want to remind you again that next week is Easter and we're really excited about this Easter. We will be live streaming it here, the same place, same times. And we would love, again, for you to invite your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. Share that on social media. Share it with them with an email or a text. We want to believe big things for God this year. People who never would step into this building would check out church this Easter if we are inviting them. So we're trusting him for big things this year. God bless you guys. I love you. We're praying for you. We're going to pray and then we'll sing one more song so you can pray with me. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for your steadfast love that is immovable, that is never ending. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the truth and that you have promised so many good things for us, Lord, that we are chosen by you, that we are your people, Lord, that you love us. Lord, I thank you that you died for us, Lord. I pray for anybody right now who's listening to this who doesn't know you, Lord, and I pray you'd be working on them and pulling them to yourself, Lord, that you'd be showing them your love and your grace, Lord. I ask, Jesus, that if anybody would understand their need for you and want to place their trust in you, Jesus, that they would do that today. Lord, that they would turn to you, Jesus, that they would pray a simple prayer like this, that they would say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I realize I need you. I realize that my sin separates me from you and I want to enter into relationship with you. I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again from the dead. I want to receive your eternal life. I want to trust you in the best way that I know how, and I want to enter into a lifelong relationship with you, trusting you. Jesus, I pray if anyone has prayed that right now with me, Lord, I pray that they would be reaching out, Lord, that we would be able to connect with them, or they would reach out to somebody that knows you, that they would read the Bible, that they would pray to you, Jesus, and start to follow you, Lord. Would you give them grace? For the rest of us, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time to be able to read your word and to sing to you. I pray we would sing loud now, Lord, and we would worship you because you are worthy of our praise. We love you, Jesus, and pray all that in your name. Amen.